Open in your Bibles with me this morning, please, to the book of 2 Samuel and chapter 22. And you may immediately say, but Pastor, the bulletin says our text is in Psalm 18 and verse 30. And that is correct, because Psalm 18, 30, actually the entirety of Psalm 18 is repeated in 2 Samuel and chapter 22. So I'm going to take our scripture reading from 2 Samuel chapter 22 and begin in the first verse of the chapter. If you have your place now in God's Word, 2 Samuel 22 and verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. My high tower and my refuge, my Savior, thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and cried unto my God, and he did hear my voice out of his holy temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the heavens were moved and shook, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured, coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon the cherub, and did fly, and he was seen on the wings of the wind. And he made darkness his pavilion round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were the coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven. The Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. The channels of the sea appeared. The fountains of the world were discovered at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. And then drop down with me in the passage to verse number 29. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. By thee have I run through a troop. By my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is a God save Jehovah, save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Oh, let us pray. Great God, our Heavenly Father, we rejoice in these words which we've read. And O Lord, how these inspired words of David sing to our hearts. How these inspired words of David proclaim truth unto us. And Lord, these inspired words were so important and so blessed to the heart of your people that you ordained to put them in the Bible twice. Oh Lord, what comment can we make upon these words today that is profitable to thy people? Father, we can add nothing to thy word. We cannot expound thy word in any way that brings more benefit than thy word itself. For the words of man are simply that. They are the words of man. But the words we read are the very inspired and preserved word of God. They are pure. But, O Lord, it is our endeavor today as a congregation to dig into thy word, to seek instruction and edification. And we thank you for the promise of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth. The Holy Spirit would testify of Christ and show us things to come. And so, Lord, today I pray that you would guard and guide my lips, that I might not speak that which is amiss. And Father, as we so often have prayed in this congregation, may the Spirit of God be the exegete. May I not be the preacher here today. But, O Lord, may your Spirit preach truth to each heart. For, Lord, then we will truly be edified and strengthened and blessed. Indeed, you have done great things for us whereof we are glad. Indeed, your way is perfect, your word is tried, and you are our shield. Bless thy truth to our hearts this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The entirety of Psalm 18 is repeated in 2 Samuel 22. Verse 30 of Psalm 18 is our stated text this morning, which is repeated again in verse 31 of 2 Samuel 22. There's only one word variance in our English Bible in Psalm 18. It is, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him." And in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 31, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him." It's the exact same verse, only a slight variation in our English translation thereof. As for God, isn't that a glorious phrase? Do you realize it's only found twice in Scripture? And the two times it's found are these two verses, "as for God." The Bible says a lot about "as for man," and man makes a lot of proclamations about himself. "As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. As for me, my steps were well nigh slid. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercies. As for me, my feet were almost gone. As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. As for me, I will call upon the Lord, and he shall save me. As for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart will I offer. As for me, it was in my heart to build a house for the ark of the Lord. And Job said, as for me, my complaint is before man." A lot of "as for me" statements about man, and we can learn something from each one of them. It's a beautiful word study. If you ever want a word study to follow, just follow that phrase and what each one of those verses teaches us. I would commend it to you. But two times, yea, rather one time, God says, "as for me." And there David is declaring, "as for God, his way is perfect." If you notice the first three verses of our scripture reading from 2 Samuel, and then look at Psalm 18, you'll find that the title, the introduction to Psalm 18, is the first verse of 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. Brother Vince mentioned recently that those titles are inspired, and if you ever want proof of it, there's your proof that they are inspired of God. For in 2 Samuel they recorded this actually the first verse, as instead of the title itself. The first thing that I would point out to our hearts this morning, which I believe is very instructive in understanding this great declaration, as for God, His way is perfect, is to understand the circumstances under which David made such a declaration. The title that we find in Psalm 18 and the first verse that we find in 2 Samuel 22, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. You see, before David could declare, as for God, his way is perfect, the word of the Lord is tried, he's a buckler to all those that trust in him, David had to go through some trials. He had to go through some hard times. You see, the great athlete who runs a mile in under 6 minutes doesn't get up one morning and suddenly run a mile in under 6 minutes. Those of you who are runners know that that's quite a feat. I did it once. I was 17. I couldn't do it today. Today I struggle to run a mile in 15 minutes. But you see, it takes that strengthening. It takes the sweat and the pain and the difficulty to reach the goal. And so before David could say, as for God, his way is perfect, he had to be put through some perfect testings. But they weren't easy. They were not pleasant. You see, David had fully obeyed what God said to do. God told David, go out there and fight Goliath. But I'm just a shepherd boy. He's a man of war from his youth. In fact, Goliath mocks David. Art thou come to me with staves? Thou art ruddy and but a youth, and I am a man of war from my youth, Goliath declares. But David was faithful. He did what God wanted him to do, regardless of the consequences. David defeated the Philistines through the power of God. David worshiped Jehovah and gave God the glory. David said to Goliath, you come to me with shield and with spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. David had been through some hard trials. And you realize that David was anointed to be king of Israel before he fought Goliath?
Yep.
You see, David was not operating on his own will. David was operating under commands. He was operating under instructions. He was doing that which God would have him to do. And we find in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13 and 14, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. The Spirit of the Lord was on David. But the next verse says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. You see, all the time that David is running from King Saul, David knows God has ordained me to be king, and his spirit is with me. And David knew Saul has been rejected. Wouldn't that make you want to say, I'm going to kill him? I'm going to take my revenge on Saul. Here is the opportunity. Saul is asleep at my feet, and a sword is in my hand. I took a sword, and I chopped off the head of Goliath. Why should I not take a sword and chop off the head of Saul? How easy it is when God is working with us, and working through us, and he is leading, and we're defeating Goliath, and we're feeding Philistines, to suddenly think, okay, it's time for me to step up and do this on my own. But David was in the process of learning that God's way is perfect. He was in the process of learning to allow God to work things in his way and in his will. That's a hard lesson to learn when you're hiding in a cave, isn't it? That's a hard lesson to learn when you've had two javelins thrown at you that have fastened into the wall. It's a hard thing to learn when Saul has taken your wife and given her to another man. These are all things that David has been through. Before the day that God gave him victory over all his enemies. And victory over Saul. You see, when David said, "As for God, his way is perfect," David knew what he was talking about. He was not a Johnny come lately, as they say. He was not big talk with nothing behind it. All smoke and no flame, as they say. But rather, he'd been put through the fire. He'd been put to the test. And so, those circumstances stand behind us when David says, "As for God, his way is perfect." David, when he was offered the opportunity to kill Saul, said these words in 1 Samuel 26 and verse 10. David said, "As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him." In other words, God will take care of this problem. God will take care of Saul. "The Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed." David still calls him the Lord's anointed. And David said, "I'm not going to stretch forth my hand." Ah, how easy it is for us when we face the trials of this life to want to lash out, to want to make things right, to want to clear the record, to want to defend ourselves against the lies of men, to want to proclaim truth in the face of error when it's not God's truth, but it's man's truth that we're trying to defend. But when David said, "As for God's, his way is perfect," he had come through great trials to get there. And David would later say, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." And so the first thing we see here is a consideration of the background that David comes to from our context, that this declaration was made in the day, it says, in the day that God delivered him from all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. But the second thing we would see there is the comprehensive nature of God's perfect way. And actually that word "perfect," "as for God, his way is perfect," is a word that indicates completion. It's a word that indicates, among other things, having all of its parts. Did you ever do a jigsaw puzzle? We had a jigsaw puzzle in my house when I was a kid, and the box said 1,000 piece, and my brother had taken a marker and scratched out the 1,000 and wrote 999 on the box, because we put it together and there was one piece missing. It was never perfect because there was a hole in the puzzle. You see, the trials we face and the difficulties that we come through often are very puzzling. They're confusing. And we don't even have the box to look at. A lot of times we have no idea what God is doing and how it's all going to work out, how it's all going to come together, how it's someday going to be beautiful. In spite of the fact that at the moment it's an ugly mess. It's a pile of jumbled pieces, and some of them are upside down, and there's all kinds of weird shapes, and we have no idea how this thing is going to work out. But David had learned through hard trials that all the pieces will be there. Yeah. As for God, His way is perfect. The comprehensive nature of the working of God. What did God forget in creation? What piece did he leave out? No, rather, God declared, it's very good. It's very good. And so as we consider, as for God, his way is perfect, and the comprehensive nature of what he's saying, I want us to consider that this word way is inseparably connected to the work of God, and the way of God and the work of God are inseparably connected to the Word of God. It is comprehensive. And when David is saying God's way is perfect, he's not just talking about the way that things happened, but he's talking about God's working through those ways. And he's talking about God's word, which commanded those ways. It all functions together. It is not fractured pieces like a puzzle, but it all comes together. And it all functions as one. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4, Moses declared, he is the rock, and that rock there in Deuteronomy 32 is capitalized. It's the name of God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for his ways are judgment. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. And that verse there in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4 uses the exact same words that we find in Psalm 18 and verse 30 and in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 31. It's the same Hebrew words. And that 32nd song of, or that 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy is, of course, the song of Moses. And if we look at Revelation 15 and verse 13, we find, or verse 3, Revelation 15 and verse 3, we find the victorious saints of God after the tribulation, after the trials that they face. And we read there in Revelation 15, 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. And it comes from Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. And so you have there in Deuteronomy, the book of the law, the beginning of God's working with his people in deliverance from Egypt, the song of Moses, which was sung at the Red Sea. And then you have in the Revelation at the end of the trials, the saints singing the same song. And you consider their context, and it is the saints that have gone through great tribulation before God makes all things right. And you consider Israel that have just come out of Egypt. They've come out of the world. They've come through the trial of the Red Sea. And then you find David smack dab in the middle, declaring the same promises and the same victory. Doesn't that teach us that no matter how great our trial, how ugly our circumstances may seem today, as for God, his way is perfect, the word of the Lord is tried, he's a buckler to all those that trust in him. He's going to bring it all right. And brethren, we're not at the end of the journey yet. We've been through some hard times. We've had some pretty hard things said about us. We've had some accusations that were not true. We've had assumptions made about our hearts that were not true. Mm-hmm. And we didn't bring it on ourselves. But it was of God's will. And what a joyous 2 years we've had. Amen. How pleasant and blessed is our fellowship. Can any of us say we wish, I don't know how to put it, we didn't want the trials, but they've made us better. They've made us stronger. And we love those that we left behind, and we pray for them. But God did this. As for God, his way is perfect. And we need to consider that word perfect as well. What does it mean when it says His word, His way is perfect? I've also already mentioned that it carries the concept of completion. And actually in the Bible dictionaries, the first definition you'll find for this Hebrew word is complete or entire, even though our King James only translates it one time as complete in the Old Testament scriptures. But that's the idea it carries, completeness and perfection. 44 times this word perfect is translated without blemish. And it's related every time to the sacrifice. The sacrifice was to be without blemish. 15 times it's translated perfect, as it is here in Psalm 18 and in 2 Samuel 22. 6 times it's translated without spot. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. And in Psalm 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And it's the same word, perfect. And in Psalm 145 verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and all His works. And in Daniel 4 verse 37, Nebuchadnezzar, after he came back to his right mind, says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and His ways, judgment." Ah, how perfect is the way of the Lord. But not only do we find His perfection in His way and in His work, I said that these two words, the way of the Lord and the work of the Lord, are inseparably linked to the word of the Lord. How did creation come about? He spoke it. How are we saved? Through grace, through faith, by hearing of the Word. Mm-hmm. What is Christ? He is the living Word, the visible manifestation of the message of God. "Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. For the commandment of the Lord is a lamp, and the law a light, and the reproofs of the instructions are the way of life. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand." The word of the Lord is tried. And again, that word tried is a word we must consider. It means to purify. It means to try or to try. It means to be pure. Two times is translated just as pure. Two times is refined. One time is purge away. That same word, tried. That word tried there is a verb form in the Hebrew, but in our English translation, it's sometimes translated in a noun form. The word goldsmith. Remember when they were planning and building the tabernacle and they got the goldsmiths that made the candelabra and that overlaid the ark with gold? That word goldsmith is this word tried. It's the same word. What did they do with the gold? They purified it. They refined it. It's also translated founder. You know, the founder casts something. He makes something of molten metals. It's the same word, tried, that's translated founder 5 times in our Bible. The word refiner and finer. But how does this all connect to the Word of God? Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure, and it's the same word, tried. The words of the Lord are refined. The goldsmith has worked upon them, and the goldsmith that has worked upon those words is God Himself, for He breathed them into existence. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from generation, from this generation and forever. How do we know that what we have is the very inspired, and as we love to say, and preserved Word of God? Because it tells us so. Because God declared He would keep them.
That's right.
And if he has not kept his words, he's failed. And I say that too quickly, for those are fearsome words to say. He has preserved them. He has kept them. And then again in Psalm 119, verse 140, the word of the Lord is pure. And it's our same word, tried. The word of the Lord is pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Why do we love this book? Because it's the pure word of God. Every word of God is pure, Psalm 30 and verse 5. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And so we've seen thus far, David spoke these words through a time of great trial. We've seen further that when David declares that as for God, his way is perfect, he's declaring the perfection of everything. It's comprehensive. It's his word. It's his work. It's his way. All about it. There has been no error in it because there is with him no variableness nor shadow of turning. But not only does David say, as for God, his way is perfect, and as for God, his word is tried. But David capstones all that by declaring that he is a buckler to all those that trust in him. This word buckler used to really confuse me when I was a child. I just couldn't figure out what it was saying. The word buckler is also translated shield in Scripture. It's the same word. He's a buckler. He's a shield to us. And consider what David had been through. Well, David's been ducking spears thrown at the wall. David is hidden in caves. David has even had to take refuge with the Philistines. Were the wicked Philistines the shield of God in that instance? Yeah, they were. Hebrew legend, and it's not in Scripture, but Hebrew legend, Hebrew oral tradition, maybe if you want to call it that, says that when David was hiding in the cave and that King Saul came in and lay down and slept in the cave, that a spider web had grown in front of David, or not grown, that a spider had spun a web and that David was saved by a spider. Don't know that that's absolutely true because Scripture's not clear. There are some indications, but can God use a spider as a shield for his servant? Well, he that fed Elijah with ravens, amen, certainly can. And remember Elijah when his servant, when Gehazi was frightened and he prayed, Lord, open his eyes. Mm-hmm. And the mountains were filled with chariots of fire. Mm-hmm. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, is pure words, it's refined. The goldsmith of heaven has worked upon them. He's a buckler to all those that trust in him. He is their shield. He shields them from all harm. Looking again at those first three verses of 2 Samuel 22, I read them at the beginning, but let me read them again to re-implant them in our minds. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. In the time of battle, a great rock is a great defense. In the time of battle, a fortress is where you want to be. You don't want to storm the fortress. You want to be in the fortress. And though Saul came with his great armies, David was in the fortress. For the Lord was his rock and his fortress and his deliverer. He says in verse 3, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield. And that word shield there is our same word buckler that we find in 18:30 and in 22:31. He's my shield. He is my defense. And the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, my Savior, thou savest me from violence. He is the buckler and the shield. This word shield is a beautiful word. In Genesis 15, when God was making promise to Abraham, God said to Abraham, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abraham, don't be afraid. You're leaving Ur of the Chaldees. You're leaving your family. You're going to a place that I promised to you that you'll never see. Fear not. I'm your buckler. I'm your shield. I'm your reward. And then in Job 41, where God is declaring his greatness to Job and declaring the might of his power and the puniness of Job to stand before God. And God brings up the illustration of the dinosaur. Ah, interesting. The book of Job was written sometime around 4,000 years ago. And the illustration that God gives to Job would be one that Job would have seen, that Job would understand, and God maybe even pointed to one. Hey, Job, look at that dinosaur over there. His name is Leviathan. He didn't die 600 million years ago.
That's right.
He wasn't even created 600 million years ago. But there he is, Job. I digress. Job 41, verse 15, God talking about Leviathan says, his scales are his pride. And the word scales there in Job is the same word shield, the same word buckler that we have. His and we understand what it means. We've seen an alligator and how his skin is leathery and protects him. And we've seen other animals and we've seen the fossils of some of the dinosaurs and how their scales are shields to them. And Marco Polo talked about dragons. Ah, Marco Polo, there we go. He's pretty recent, isn't he? And he saw dinosaurs in China and talked about them. All the legends, again, I'm getting off subject here, but all the legends in English history of dragons, fire-breathing dragons, dinosaurs in recent history, they survived the flood. And they still existed. They cohabited with man very readily. But his scales were his shields. David could truly say, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Oh, what a glorious declaration. David said, I'm not seeking a palace. I'm not seeking a throne. I'm not seeking riches. I'm not seeking earthly comforts. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that's what I'm going to seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No, that's what David said. He said, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. But even here and now when I'm in a cave, even here and now when I'm hiding with the Philistines, even here and now when I'm running from Saul, even here and now with all the problems of this life, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Wow, what a glorious lesson David has learned. God declares to his people in Isaiah 54 and verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. But God warns those that would oppose his people, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. What application can we make from this passage? Well, we've seen that the way of the Lord and the work of the Lord and the word of the Lord are unified. They're inseparable. Mm-hmm. Look down to verse 36 of 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22, verse 36. Thou shalt also give me the shield of thy salvation. Just let those words sink in. Thou shalt also give me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. I see some smiles. I see some people that are getting it, that see it already. Folks, it's Christ. He is the shield of salvation which is given to us, and his gentleness, his humility. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was our shield. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the living word. We know not the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is the work of God that ye believe. It's all about Jesus Christ. He's found in the Old Testament. He's found in the New Testament. Amen. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Mm-hmm. But what comes before the wherefore? Okay. He made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant. Thou hast given me the shield of salvation. Christ is the buckler. He was the buckler to David. He was the shield of David. Mm-hmm. And by his gentleness, he's made me great. He has restored me to what Adam was. He has made me a new creature in Christ. And so the first application that we'd find from this glorious passage is, for God, his way is perfect. He's the way, the truth, and the life. As for God, his word is tried. Christ was tried as no man can be tried, and he passed the test. He remained pure. And remember what we said that word tried means. It's the word for the sacrifice. It's without blemish, it's without spot. And he's a buckler, he's a shield, he's salvation to all those that trust in him. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Are you going through the trials of this life without a shield? Will you face the judgment of God for eternity without a shield? Or will Christ, who is the way, be your shield? He's a buckler to all those that trust in him. Mm-hmm. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Seek the Lord while he may be found. The second application I would make from this passage is very directly to Mission Bible Church. Our name is Mission. Well, David was on a mission, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. All the trials he faced were part of the mission. He went on a mission to go out and fight Goliath. He went on a mission to go out and stand before the Philistines. He went on a mission to bring the ark back for worship. He went on a mission to purify the people. David was on a mission. He came through rough times before he could say, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's unbuckled all those who trust in him. Mission Bible Church has been through a few little trials. Not much. We have not suffered for the Lord yet. But may God give us grace to ever stand in his truth. And may we ever be on a mission. As for God, his way is perfect. Our name is Bible. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. Bible is right in the middle of our name. Glory. And we stand on the Bible, and not just any Bible.
That's right.
We stand on the pure and preserved Word of God. Mm-hmm. In the English, it's expressed in the King James. We stand firmly on it. Mm-hmm. We preach from it. We read it. We study it. We memorize it. And we love it. And my friend, if Mission Bible Church ever leaves that position, it's time to close.
Yes.
Yep. We are Mission Bible. Mission Bible Church. As for God, His way is perfect. He brought us through trials. Mm-hmm. His word is tried. We're a Bible church, and He is our salvation. Mm-hmm. We are a church because Jesus died for our sins. Mm-hmm. We are a church because we are the ecclesia. We are called out to Him. Mm-hmm. We are a church, and He will shield us. He will protect us. Mm-hmm. He will be with us. He will preserve us. We will exist on earth as long as He ordains for us to exist on earth. And when that time is done, He'll have something else for us.
That's right.
Yep. We're Mission Bible Church. Isn't God's way perfect?
Yes, always is.
Hasn't He proved that His word is pure? And doesn't He sustain us day by day?
Mm-hmm.
Let us stand for prayer. Father, the old hymn writer wrote, through many trials, tares, and snares. I'm not quoting it right, but I have already come. Lord God, You've brought us through much. You've sustained us. Father, may You continue to work within us. May we ever be sensitive to Your will. May we ever walk in Your way. And may we ever be founded on Your word. Father, we thank You for the beautiful picture of Christ, our Savior, we find in this passage. O Lord, implant that truth in hearts this day. In Jesus' name.